The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 7 p.m. on Monday, 4/23, April. I had to look at my calendar for there a second there. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is Mr. Dave Sawyering. Enjoying the day, Dave.
I am enjoying the day. Instead of shoveling snow, 20 inches of snow a week ago today, we have 70 and sunny, and there's hardly, as I look out my window, there's hardly a scrap of snow anywhere to be found. So, I know. And it was a great weekend, too. So
I'm actually glad you brought up the snow, because that's why we weren't on last week.
Yeah, it was bad.
We had our great friend Dana Mitchell scheduled to be on, and I got called into work 4 hours early. Dave's internet wasn't working.
Nope.
Yep, so... No show. But you did get to hear our shenanigans with Mr. Chip Coffee. So isn't that worth it?
Well, and that was a great show. So But this is gonna be an even better show because of who we have.
I agree. Introducing our guest for tonight, he is the magical Mr. Dustin Perry. Good evening, Dustin.
Good evening, guys. Thank you for setting me up for failure by saying I have to be better than Chip Coffee, but we'll try like hell.
That's what we do. That's how we roll.
we have the goal. Every single show has to be better than the one before it.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't know who's going to have to be on after me, but let's set the bar really high.
Well, I agree.
Chris Fleming is coming back next week.
Oh,
he set the bar really high once. And then Grant was on, and he really set the bar high. And then Chip had a really great show.
Nice.
And there's been a whole lot of really good shows. So, so you're up there. You're. Don't worry about it. We got you. We're going to teach you where you need to be. You're fine.
No pressure, Dustin. No, absolutely none. Just sit there and be yourself. Don't let the fact of all of our guests prior, get into the back of your head.
Yeah. No worries. I'm just being number two. I try harder,
That's right.
So, speaking of previous guests, I was going to make this observation today. So, like I always do with the guests, I post the graphic, the promo, letting people know that which guest is going to be on this night. And I found it amazing at the reaction to my posting that you were going to be on. Because... like I posted that Grant was going to be on, and of course, like Grant retweeted it, and Lindsay retweeted it, and everybody was like, "Oh, Grant's going to be on. That should be a swell show. I'll make sure to listen in."
Swell's a great word for Grant.
And then I just wanted to make sure that I had the comparison in general terms. But I posted with yours, and I logged on. I went to bed. I went, a few hours later, I got up, and it's. Like chaos, like there's like 17 retweets and 14 likes and everyone's like, "Oh my God, Dustin's going to be on the radio tonight."
I've got some really enthusiastic good people out there for sure, man.
you do. I was like, wow. I was really surprised I didn't see a message saying, oh, I'm going to wear a diaper when he's on, so I don't miss a single second. And, I mean, it was crazy. And now, yeah. do you attribute that to, like, the message and, like, you getting out and speaking to people that it hits them that deeply? Or do you think it's, like, the hair?
Well, you know, a little from column A, a little from column B. I've been very blessed to have a really good group of people that have supported me over the years, you know, because I was never a full-time player with the Ghost Hunter group originally. You know, I started, I hung out with them, I had a good time, but I was kind of focused on my day job and everything, and it was a passion. It was something that was a great hobby, and it was a cool opportunity. But then I kind of left and came back. I did international, came back, and then did the last two seasons here. But the people that come to the conventions, the people that come to the lectures, like, we have a good time together, you know? Like, I always kind of prided myself on not being one of those guys or ladies that stands behind the table at the convention, takes the $20, misspells your name on the photo, and sends you on your way, you know? You get a hug, you get a personal story, you probably get a nickname. It's a full-on experience. It's a little bit crazy, but we have a hell of a time. And I love my people, you know? And they mean a lot to me. Everyone that comes to the event, I try to make a point to get to know them on a different level. And the things that I do with outside of the paranormal, the motivational speaking, the suicide prevention, just trying to be a good person, which I think really shouldn't be that hard. But a lot of people struggle with it. I just want to inspire more people to do it. And in the meantime, we're attracting a lot of good people. So I refer to us as little Isle of Misfit Toys. We're all a little broken, but man, we're having a heck of a time.
So let me ask you here. I just got to say, I mean, I have a whole bunch of really good questions, but now I just got another one. So are you saying that there is somebody that you've seen at a convention misspell somebody's name on a photograph? Or were you just using that as a motivational statement?
I've seen it done. I've seen – and like, listen, God bless them, man. Everyone does their own thing. Right.
I'm not asking for names.
I am. I would like a name.
No.
One of the first big conventions that I ever did, one of the first big Dragon Cons, I was seated next to Doug Jones, who is now most famously probably known for being in Shape of Water. But he was in Pan's Labyrinth and lots of, like, creepy makeup-covered characters, and now he's on the new Star Trek. And I was seated next to him. And let me tell you, man, everybody that came up to this guy, he came out from behind the table, big warm hug, friendly smile, picture, talk to you, sign the photo, talk to you some more, didn't rush you on your way. I was like, that's the guy I want to be. I want to be the guy that people come and get an experience with, not just to, like, buy the merch and go on, but, like, have a conversation and hang out, you know? And I've seen other people that, you know, they get the security guard there, you, like, give them the money, you sign your name on a piece of paper, they slide it to the artist, they kind of scribble it on a thing, and then you get a wave, maybe. You know, like, to me, I'm like, yeah, get over yourself, you know? People came here to see you. Give them the moment. Like, I'm all about going out and having pizza with people and hanging out. Like, I'm probably too friendly. It's probably dangerous, but I like just hanging out with the people, you know? And I just never thought it was a challenge to do that, but I've seen other people struggle with it. And so it's important for me to make sure that happens at every convention and every event I go to.
Well, that's fantastic. I pat you on the back long distance for that.
Thank you very much.
Internet high five.
Yeah, here's the Skype high five. Woo!
Nobody can see.
Nobody could see. But
it happened, though.
Everybody just needs to know that just happened.
Yep. So. It did happen.
For anybody that's not familiar, and this is a question that I have, because I always ask how my guests, like, got into the paranormal originally. Now, reading, you said that being on Ghost Hunters was completely by accident. I need details.
Sure. So my story starts back when I was a kid, around, you know, 8, 9 years old, seeing a shadow figure, just kind of planted that seed in my head. And as I get older, I read more about, like, local New England folklore and legend. And then I started going to some of the places and checking out the old buildings and going out in the woods and things that, you know, I do caution people against now, because some of these places can be dangerous and you don't want to get arrested or you don't want to get hurt. So it's important to keep that in mind. But when I was a kid, that's what I did. And then I was working in healthcare at the time, and I still do, actually. But I was working in the by day at an oral surgery office, and at night I was running as operations director for an ambulance company. And I came home one night, and I was flicking through TV, and there was a late-night rerun of Ghost Hunters on, and I'd never seen the show. It was, like, first half of season one. I'm like, man, these guys are, like, in people's homes, like, investigating. Like, I'm getting chased out of old buildings in the woods. Like, this seems the way to do it, you know? And I saw in the B-roll that they had, like, water towers from Warwick, Rhode Island. I'm like, yeah, that's, like, down the street from my house. So I, like, sent everybody an email, and I always remind them because none of those guys got back to me when I emailed them. But, you know, I kept it up, and I sent a couple more emails, and next thing I know, one of the ladies that was with the team invited me out, and I got to meet the guys at a coffee shop, and they're like, well, you can't be on the show, but you can be on the team. And I was like, well, I've already got two jobs. I don't have time for a show. I just want to get access to people's homes and, you know, and help somebody and not get chased out. And it was great.
I hope you didn't use that terminology. I want to get access to people's homes.
Well, you know, not in like a creepy way. Like, I don't hang out in the bedroom for an extended period of time. Or, you know, we set up surveillance for paranormal reasons only.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. But yeah, man, like we did a couple of cases, and next thing I know, they like, hey, we're filming locally. You want to come help out in the show one night? And so I got to do that. We did like a firehouse, and then we did like a local home, and it just kind of took off from there. But I can never commit full time because of my duties and my dedication to my family and to work, you know. But I made the most of all the times that I could do it, and then I did take a hiatus to do international for a little bit. And the last two seasons of Ghost Hunters, I did. Just like I didn't sleep, like I would just get out of work and drive to the location and film all night and then nap for like an hour and then drive back to work and then do it again for the next night. So it was crazy, man.
Wow. That, yeah. Speaking of somebody who is currently training a team 5 hours away, I have left work, gone down there, done a whole weekend, drove back and drove straight to work. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And that's difficult, especially on a, like an prolonged, that's where I'm going for it. Like a prolonged type, time period.
By the end of season two, I was joking with everybody. I'm like, I think I'm getting the best evidence I've ever gotten because I'm close to death and they feel like it's comfortable to just talk to me. Like, oh, he's almost one of us.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
He's almost on our team. He's on our team. Woo!
Crazy, man.
Ugh. How did the select, not so much for Ghost Hunters, you just explained that, but when they decided to do Ghost Hunters International, how did that selection process happen? Because, I mean, they took like Chris, they took Joe, they took you, you know, and then they brought in like Rod and Barry.
Yeah, it was weird, man. You know, I was with Ghost Hunters when we went over to Ireland, and that was just part of the domestic Ghost Hunters show. It was a special thing. And so that was awesome because I always wanted to go there. And then I came back, and then I left the show completely because my wife and I, we just had our little girl, and I was like, you know, I don't want to be traveling around. I want to be here for this. And they called me and said, you know, we've got the idea now to do this international show. Are you in? And I couldn't commit to it. I said, no, you know, you guys would be better off without me because I need to be here for my wife, my daughter. And about halfway through the first season, they contacted me again. You know, it takes a while to film these things. And my daughter was just about turning a year old. And the day job had slowed down a lot. It was when the economy kind of crashed. And working in you know, somewhat elective surgery, not a lot of people were booking things. And so my hours were reduced. And I was like, well, sometimes, you know, being a parent and for me being a father was sacrificing. So, yeah, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot of sacrifice to travel the world and be on a TV show. But to leave your heart at home and to live on the road is not easy. But it was a decision that, you know, I made with my family, and I get to go be a part of that. I get to go to like 27 countries over 2 years, but we'd be gone, you know, minimum of 6 weeks, sometimes, you know, 8 or 10 weeks at a time. So it was very tough. As far as how they put the whole team together, I'm not really sure, but I always made the analogy. I was like, I kind of felt like I went from being on the Beatles, which was like an organic group, to being on the Monkees, where they're like, well, you guys all have some talent. Make something happen, you know? But it was cool, man. We had a really good time. Barry and I have stayed really good friends over the years. You know, I stay in touch with Rob and everybody. And Chris Williams, I actually got to perform her wedding ceremony recently, just this past fall. So we all stay in touch with each other.
Very nice. Very nice.
While you're thinking, I got
to... Dave has a lot of good questions.
All right. We'll call it on. All
right. So you've traveled all over the place. Yeah. Right. Overseas, the U.S., stuff like that. So pick one or two of like your most favorite kind of memorable experiences, and not necessarily what was the greatest for like viewership or for the show, but like for you, like what stands out as like one or two of the best things that you have seen or witnessed, maybe something that made you take a step back and go, whoa, like the first time you'd ever seen something like that.
You know, I really kind of immersed myself in the sociology of the places. You know, when I was in high school, my two elective courses that I took, because we didn't have a lot of electives you could take, but the two that I was able to sign up for was sociology and death and dying, which was great foreshadowing for the rest of my life. And I had no idea what was to come. But I enjoyed going to all these countries because, you know, I grew up in a tiny little neighborhood. And financially, I didn't think I'd ever have the opportunity to travel and see these places. So for me, going and visit, you know, all the big monuments and everything was really cool. But the people that you meet and the things that you witness, I remember being over in Prague and going over on the Charles Bridge at night. And like during the day, there's so many people and hustle and bustle and stuff going on, you know. And then I was standing there at night, and it's actually one of the stories I wrote in my last book in Kaleidoscope. This guy came out, he's a mousy looking little fella, he has little round glasses on and his little mustache, and he set up this small table. These little candles at each end of it. And he took out this violin and he just played by the candlelight underneath the moon. And everyone just kind of just walked by. And like, I was just watching everybody. It was amazing to me. It's like, look at all these different souls like interacting and kind of intermingling in this one moment in time, this one place. And I'm here to witness it, you know? And yeah, it's cool to see all the paranormal stuff and see all the weird spirit activity in places. And I've got to witness some amazing things. But for me, those moments really kind of echo our spirituality, as because I always say, you know, we're spirits going through this human experience, and to kind of sit there and not see people but see souls coming together, to me was just one of the best moments that I had on the road, you know. And I think a lot of it had to do with me being lonely and kind of being, you know, isolated a lot, and I would get very thoughtful and kind of watch these things. I remember sitting in Africa by this old little like general store, watching the people come in and like buy these weird little scraps of things. Like, By no means would this store pass any Department of Health standards we have here in the States, you know, but it's good for what they needed. And it's just such an interesting, different way of life. And just some of these small, quiet, more rural places just seem kinder and more thoughtful and slow paced. And I thought that appeals to me more than the fast paced, fast food, Walmart society that we live in here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So trying to digest that because you're right.
Things the way you think. I know I'm a bizarre little fellow. I get all kind of tangenty sometimes.
No, that's quite all right. Cause it's actually, it's strange for me to be able to talk to somebody who talks about, well, I was in Prague, you know, doing this. And then I was down in Africa watching these people walk into this little store. It's like, wow, I wish I could do that. But, right?
It was really amazing, man.
So I would like to switch things because I got this question in my head and I want to make sure I get it because I really want to know. So one of the things that Dave and I always talk about that we don't like about filming of the show is the fact that the camera is always aimed at the investigators and not at what the investigators are looking at. So when you react to something, all we see is your reaction, but not what you're seeing.
Right.
Was there ever a moment during the show where something would happen, you would see the camera pointing, like, not me, you fool, you know, that.
So we kind of worked out a good chemistry. When I was on International specifically, Barry and I, we worked with this guy, Steve Robinson, who recently passed away last year. He's a young kid, he's a great guy. And we kind of worked things out with him where, because we got really into the lighting of the field and trying to work with how different lights we thought impacted the potential for what spirit activity was there. So we wanted to reduce the amount of IR that we had, but obviously we needed to film the show. So we would kind of tape off the big cans and stuff in the hallway. We would put one low against a wall in the distance so that it would lit up as a backdrop so we could see distance. Then we put these low-level orange and red lights across the floor in the middle. And we thought this was the best and most conducive way to track spirit activity. And then our cameraman, Steve, he would actually mask off as much of his IR as he could too and kind of dim it down so he could see us but not too much else. And he would even close his viewfinders to not contaminate the field with any more light. And we kind of had it worked out with him where we would often turn so he could film over our shoulders. So if something happened, he could kind of get our reaction but still get the field of view that we would have, because we were also upset that a lot of times, you know, they weren't getting what we were getting. Then there was experiments with helmet cams and stuff, but those never worked out because you have two investigators wearing it, or you've got the cameraman and one investigator wearing it, and then you're constantly, you know, crossing the streams, and all you can see is white out IR, and you're missing everything. So it is definitely a hindrance to what we do, you know. I mean, and honestly, like, as anybody who's been in the field can tell you too, for a long time, like, none of this stuff has to happen at night. None of it exclusively happens at night. You know, the fact that we film in the darkness, it's great, and it's more spooky for TV. And yeah, maybe there's the idea that if something's trying to illuminate or come together, it's easier to see in a darkened background. There's apparition witness in broad daylight, you know. So the whole fact that everything has to be in dark gets a little bit clunky and frustrating too. But you can't change the way they're going to do all that stuff. Especially not me being a part-time player on the programs. But you know, we always just try to make a commitment to doing the best we could with the parameters that we had to work within.
Fun.
That's a very thorough answer. That was a very thorough answer. I'm just saying, I'm throwing that out there. That was a very thorough answer.
Let's see Fleming be thorough next week.
Yep. Set the bar on that one. And
come on, Angel Boy, see what you got.
Yep.
I love this guy. He's honestly, if you ever witnessed him in public, he is a beautiful human being. His soul like radiates. It's like he's glowing most of the time.
Yeah, it does.
With your permission, Dustin, I'm going to clip that little piece right there.
Yeah.
Let's see what you could do, and let's go, Angel Boy.
Let's go.
And I'm gonna play that for him on the show.
He's a great guy. We did a gig together in Ohio, and it was so funny because Chris is like I am. Like, we're both very try to be very proper and professional and everything, you know. And you always want to make sure that, you know, the investigators with you are getting a real experience and having a good time, but doing it in an appropriate way. And we were sitting there, we're using one of the ghost box devices. And we're sitting on the stage and nothing's coming through. And I remember there was a woman with a small boy in front of us in the front row. And all of a sudden, the box just starts spitting out slang terms for male genitalia. Over and over and over again. And Chris is like turning red and like trying to quiet the thing down. And like the mother's looking at us in horror. We're like, oh my God, we're so sorry. You can't control what they say, you know. But... Well, we tried to make light of it. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, that's real. You know, these things happen sometimes.
I know I shouldn't, but I would absolutely die laughing if that actually happened during an investigation.
Dude, I was doing a lecture at I think it was an all-girls Catholic college.
New Hampshire.
And like, so like I had to talk to them because I do Christian lectures and stuff too. So I had to tell them, like, listen, we're going to do the investigation, but like, there's nothing demonic that I do. Like, you know, it's completely cool. And it was the same kind of scenario where the box is like quiet and all of a sudden it just yells the F word. And everyone looks at me. I'm like, I am so sorry right now. Like, that's what they do sometimes, you know, but luckily they all took it in stride, but man, talk about embarrassing.
I can honestly say that in my entire career as an investigator, I've never had to apologize for what a spirit has said.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Come then.
I'm probably going to get close here because Dave and I had an investigation on an old ship up in northern Minnesota. And we had the spirit box, and it was me and another investigator. We started talking about the Ghost Brothers. And how they during one of their shows, they had brought on whiskey, which you don't bring that on a ship. Just my own personal view. And out of the spirit box's female voice says the N word.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, we were stunned.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you, are you kidding me? Did you just hear that?
A racist and, in your life.
Was the only time I was ever like not happy.
As inappropriate and horrible as it is, like sometimes personalities, you know, they carry over. Like people are quick to play the demon card. It's like it could have just been a cantankerous, horrible human being in this life, and that's still pretty much the way they are, you know? And it's sad, but it's true.
Very true. You know, 99.9% of the time, it is just a cranky old human spirit that passed over.
Right. One of those get off my lawn kind of spirits.
Right. Right. Yep.
Oh, I do enjoy interacting with those. With those spirits. we tend not to see eye to eye.
Yeah. Say not as much as I do. I really enjoy those guys. But
yes, you do, Dave. So getting off the show, unless Dave, you have any more questions about that?
No, actually I'm moving on to a couple different topics.
Do it, Dave.
Wait, moving on up.
Yeah, I was going to say,
we only have an hour. So,
all right. So, okay. So I want to talk about your writing. Number one, I was going to ask you, you know, what got you to sit down and actually put like pencil to paper and start writing? And then about your first book that you wrote with Barry, you know, the two of you kind of collaborated on writing it. So The Complete Approach, it's called. Yep. So your idea was to take and kind of hybrid the equipment side of investigating and then the spiritual, psychic, metaphysical side of investigating and kind of bring this happy medium together. And so I want you to explain that to me. So tell me about, like, tell me all about that.
No worries. So for me, writing started when I was a kid. It was just always a creative outlet for me. I enjoyed writing from as far back as I can remember, like creative writing being introduced to me probably like seventh grade. Then I wrote a lot of like short stories and poems and things like that, kept little journals. So it was always something that was very natural for me and something I still enjoy today. And as far as The Complete Approach, being on the show, it's all tech, you know, like we don't use mediums, we don't use spirit guides, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I understand that's kind of the hook of what we're doing. But by far, we're not really scientists either, you know, like everyone's just using, you know, you're using something with a battery in it. That doesn't make you a scientist any more than picking up your remote. Like, it's the same kind of thing, you know. And Barry and I both had a great respect for the spirit world and the understanding that some people, you know, seem to really have honed their gifts and are able to communicate. And listen, if there's somebody I can work with that can tell me more about the location that we're at or the spirit that may be there we can communicate with, if they can tell me which way to point the equipment and what kind of things we should talk about to get a better response, I'm all for it. You know, I'm not for Susie Psychic saying, give me $10. Here's a crystal. Grandma's in heaven. Have a good day. But if somebody is doing it for the right reasons, like guys like Chip Coffee, I've seen Chip stop people and give them a reading, straight up cold reading, and not ask for a dime, but just because he felt there was a message he had to pass along. And like those kind of things go a long way for me. You know, my buddy Tim Shore up in Buffalo, New York, he's that kind of guy. So when I see those type of mediums and psychics working in that way, those are guys I want to surround myself with and I want to work with on investigations because I think that's important. And to take the spirituality out of spirit investigation seems just ridiculously asinine, you know. We want to document things. We want to be able to kind of play things back and such. And that's all well and good. But for me, if you're not being a part of the investigation, if you're just staring at your camera, staring at your recorder, your K2 meter, or your flashlight, whatever the heck it is you're using, you're missing it. You know, you may document it, but you're not living it. Like when I talk my motivational speeches, I'm like, how many times were at concerts and you see people just videotaping it, you know, or they're just taking pictures of this, that, and the other. But like, you're not living the moment. Can you even say you were there? And so I'm more for being a part of it, documented if you get to prove it to a homeowner or whoever it is, you know, your client. But for me, it's about being alive in the moment. No one needs to prove to me the spirit world exists. I know it's there. But I think it's good to work with people that have those abilities. And that is the idea behind the book was to show that, you know, there's different ways and different faiths look at these things that have its place in investigation.
And so I read a little thing that said that, you know, that like the final editor's cut or whatever got 86 or something along those lines, and now it's like rare to find this book.
It's so weird,
what kind of happened there? Or
so Barry had set up deals with a publisher, this gentleman out of New York, we won't say his name, wish him well, but he was chomping at the bit to put this book out, and we neither of us had published anything before, so we're like, okay, like, yeah, you know, we'll work with you, whatever. And a friend of mine, who's an editor by trade, was editing the book for us. And so he sent us like his final notes, which had room in there for us to make final comment, make final edits and those kind of things. And this gentleman just took it and published it. We're like, we're not done yet. He's like, well, I already went to print. I'm like, but it's not done. Like, there's still notes in there that need to be reviewed and everything, you know? Yeah. And then, you know, and the book was selling pretty well, you know, and I always feel like with all my books now, like, I'm not trying to make a bestseller. I just, there's important messages and things and stories I want to tell, so I tell them. People buy them, people don't buy them. I'm just doing what I'm doing. That's not my main way of getting by in life, you know. But yeah, so it's weird because then he disappeared. We couldn't get in touch with him. And then we got contacted by his law firm saying that he went bankrupt and that we could not pursue any of the royalties or anything. So yeah, so now it's a weird collector's item.
Wow.
So strange, but there really is some good information in there. You just have to read around some of the, you know, hey guys, you might want to take out this or change this, like, that's right in there too, you know. But you know, Barry and I've talked about maybe trying to get some time to put together a clean second edition, but you know, between the various locations that we're in and the various projects we're working in, it just hasn't come together. But you know, we worked on another one, we did another book together, and I've done a couple of solo books, so the passion's still there, you know, it's still there.
That's good. I'm glad that first, you know, experience didn't tarnish your desire to yeah, move forward, you know.
Just went straight up self-publishing after that. I was like, whatever, we don't need to be a part of something bigger. We just need to do what we want to do, and our people that are interested in it will find it, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So I suppose we should probably go to break before I start getting into other topics. All right, so it's 7:32 Central Time. I guess I should probably say that. So we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back with Dustin Perry. You were listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi? Heidi? Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para-X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling. The Calling. The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para-X.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para-X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para-X Radio.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hi, everybody. This is Chip Coffee, psychic and medium. I just wanted to let you know that when you're in the mood to get weird, you need to tune in to The Odyssey Files with two of the biggest weirdos I know, David and Michael. Take my advice. It doesn't get any weirder than that.
Amen, Mr. Chip Coffee. Amen. So, we're back, and we have our guest tonight, Mr. Dustin Perry, who is by far hitting the bar. So,
hey,
we're doing good on that. So, Dustin, I would like to get into the kind of the transference, is that the word, from paranormal investigation into motivational speaking. Right. I don't think anybody, well, I really can't say anybody, but anybody that's really been on the shows and in the public limelight has made that transition. That's the word I'm looking for.
There you go. Spit it out, Mike.
You know, sometimes it's hard to come up with 4-syllable words that right off the bat, you know?
Don't ask him to say vaudeville.
Vaudeville? Oh, he'd say it just fine. I can say only, it just fine.
Only because I say it first.
That's probably pretty accurate. So how did that transition happen and what made you decide that that's what you wanted to do?
So I tell people I've always kind of had a helpful heart. You know, I always liked helping out other people and looking out for others and things. But a lot of it came from being on the road with the GHI crew, being the married guy on the show. You don't get to go off and do all the crazy things that the single guys do, you know? So I would go out and, you know, responsibly have a beverage with them, kind of, you know, you want to be supportive of the team, of all the men and women out there helping to make the show and everything, you know, you know, buy around. And then I'd go back to my room, you know, and I had a real hard time being away. It was very difficult for me. I used to bring a series of DVDs from like American sitcoms, and I would set it up. So like every, like, you know, Sunday night I'd watch Married with Children, and Monday I would watch like all these different things. But this way I kind of felt a sense of normalcy. I'm dating myself here, but I would go on to MySpace, which was where we would go before Facebook. And I would go on MySpace and I would change my song and my background. And people would email me and they'd be, you know, asking questions like, is this a dust orb or is this a ghost? Is this grandma or what is this? And I would answer them, you know. And then randomly it became like, I hate my job. What should I do? And I'm like, I walk around in the dark. Like, I don't know what the heck you're asking me for. But like, I would write back to them and I'd ask what they did and like, ask what they were passionate about, and I'd offer them advice. And then there was love life advice and all these weird things. And I became like a paranormal Dear Abby for people. And I had time on my hands because I wouldn't go out and like party all night. So I'd sit there and email people back from my little hotel room. And then I'd come back here and I'd do events and conventions, and people would be like, thank you so much for helping me. You answered my questions. And I'm like, I didn't remember what the heck happened. But I was like, okay, great. And that became more and more of a regular thing. And due to some personal circumstances, I became a big advocate for suicide prevention and suicide awareness. So every night I'd sign off my social media with all the phone numbers for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and everything. And people would come to events and they'd talk to me about that, about loved ones that they lost. And I really feel like, you know, we're so fast paced that we don't spend time talking to each other, and we spend even less time listening to each other. And sometimes people just need someone to listen to them. And so I tried to make that time, and it became something that just kind of grew organically. And now, you know, this week I'm doing a lecture for a school up in Massachusetts. We're bringing 5 schools together. There's going to be like 500 kids there. So I get to tour around and talk to middle schools and high schools. I've done government agencies. It's really just it's just something I'm really the most passionate about. Like, I love the paranormal. I'll always be interested in it, and I'll always want to do it. But helping people that are going through this human experience while we're here together, that's kind of like where my heart lies. You know, that's what I'm most passionate about. I just launched, just quick plug time, but I just launched my own YouTube series called Hey, Got a Minute. And it's just, if it's youtube.com/Dustin Perry. And you go on there and on Hey, Got a Minute, there's a different video every day for 60 days. It just started April 15th. My good friend Cody Desmians has been helping me out with it. He's a local TAPS team member and a Rise Up Paranormal member. We have a great time. We put these videos together, and each one has its own theme and feel. So every day of the week is different. You know, there's like Soulful Sunday, where we look at world religions. Melodic Monday is all music lyrics. Techno Tuesday, where I wear like ski goggles and my hockey jerseys and I yell a lot. And everything's weird and different, but I wanted it to be bite-sized because we don't have time for things in this world. And I was like, if I can make a 1 to 2 minute video every day and put it out there and give somebody some type of motivation or inspiration and a little bit of kindness, maybe we can like collectively share these things and change the world a little bit. So the little bit of a platform I've been given because of the shows, I'm trying to kind of parlay into a bigger thing for all of us. So I've been having a lot of support with these videos, and I'm very thankful to everybody for checking it out. And it runs for 60 days. There's a lot of weird messages in there. And liking it is one thing, but sharing it means the most because then we can get it to more people out there.
Very nice. Very nice. I might have to skip Techno Tuesday, though, if you don't mind.
It's not what you're thinking. It's Techno Tuesday, where we talk about anti-technology. But there's a lot of blinking lights and things. So if you have epilepsy, you should probably skip that day. But other than that, it's a lot of fun.
I was all for it right up until you mentioned you wearing the big goggles.
It's great.
I don't know if I'd be able to handle
macho
that.
Macho man. I'm like, it's like you're going to snap into it, man. It's crazy.
Oh, no. I like that. I like the goggles. I like the whole thing. Mike, thanks. You're not going to like it because it's anti-technology and you're Mr. Technology.
I am Mr. Technology. Yes. But I don't mind unplugging if it's for 1 minute.
Yeah, exactly. 1 minute. Great. And then Wacky Wednesday, I wear kaleidoscope glasses that really left me almost blind because everything is really messed up when I wear them. But it's fun, especially with the big lights on you. It's crazy.
Do you believe, because this has kind of been a growing mentality, especially with like the people who can travel the world and stuff like that. But do you believe that there's more of a global consciousness as opposed to everybody just doing their own individual thing?
Sure, man. I think there is a real tie between us all. I think thoughts have weight. And I think that a lot of us tap into things that we're not fully aware of. But it's interesting, you know, because sometimes you have an idea and you're thinking about something and you haven't talked to anybody about it. And all of a sudden it seems to be coming to fruition in other places in your life, and you start hearing about these ideas or little things in different parts of the world. And I really think that we do tap into things. I mean, think like what invention was it? Was that, I think, the telephone? Like within like moments of each other, the same patent was basically files. Like, how is that possible without somebody spying on each other, which caused all kinds of controversy back then? But these kind of things still happen today. So I think there is like some way in which our ideas kind of relate and intermingle with each other. I think for sure there is a global consciousness that's out there. And I think that talks about, you know, when we pass away, you know, we talk about the collective consciousness, and we talk about this idea that when we pass away, we all tap into something bigger, you know. That's why we're not limited to the linguistic skills that we have in this life or the knowledge that we have in this life. I can go out and conduct EVP sessions in one language and get proper answers in another. And it all comes together because I think that in the end of it, universal consciousness theory prevails. And I think that all are one. I think that all religions are one. I think that we're all just one part of a larger force of energy that we won't understand. And I don't think we should understand at this point. I think we need to go through this experience as we're supposed to, which is kind of blind and just walking by faith.
And so do you think that when we pass away, we get a better glimpse of what that one massive energy sources?
Yeah, I really do, man. I think that we all become part of that. And I think that we start to understand things a lot better. You know, it's tough in life, you know, because being someone who's very active in faith and things, you know, people say, well, you know, how could a loving God allow this happen or that to happen? It's like, well, yeah, a lot of things suck that happen for sure. And I think that it's kind of two parts. Like one, where you have free will, and there's a lot of us that aren't good people, unfortunately, so we do negative and horrible things, you know. But also the media does an incredible job of hyping up all the negative and horrible things. I worked for CBS and Fox News for years. I know exactly what it is. And it's just god awful, you know. But for every person who's shooting up a Waffle House, there's the story of a guy who's standing up to try to save the other people. And those are the stories we need to focus on. Those are the things we need to focus our energies and our efforts on. And I think that people miss that, you know. But I also think that sometimes the answer is no to things. And sometimes we don't like that. And people say it's not fair. But sometimes we don't get what we want in this life. But if you look back, I think when you get to the end and you look retrospectively, you can't see where we're at now, you know, because you're going through it. But it's like almost looking at one stitch on a quilt. And then all of a sudden, when you zoom out, you see the whole thing patchwork together. Well, now it makes sense why this had to go this way and not the way I wanted it to.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I'm just going to chime in on this. So about 10 years ago, I took a bet that I could – I used to watch the news every night, 10 o'clock. That was like the deal, man. Like 10 o'clock news, 10 to 10:30, that was my thing. And then 10:30, I watched a little bit of Tonight Show. And by 11 o'clock, I was in bed getting ready for the next morning. So I took on this challenge where I had to give up the news for 30 days, all right? So for 20 years, 25, 30 years, whatever the hell it was, I was watching the news at 10 o'clock every night. So I gave it up on this kind of like cleansing type of thing, you know, get away from the negativity, get away from all of the bad stories that they're pumping into your life. And so I gave it up and I got to say, and I'm kind of proud of this. I have not watched the news since completing that 30-day challenge.
Right.
I have not felt the need to go back in any way, shape, or form to watch the news.
It's crazy, man. I notice when I go to the gym in the morning, they've like in front of the cardio machines, they've got like six TVs, you know? I call it the wall of misery. Like every news station's on. Everybody looks angry. We've got grown adults dressed up like they're oh so proper in their suits and they're screaming at each other. They won't allow each other to talk. You know, the press secretary comes out, can never smile and just say hello to people. Everything is just angry and misery and fighting. I'm like, what the heck is wrong with everybody? This whole idea that kindness is weakness is something that really bothers me in this world. And I don't know how to get around that, but I keep trying like heck, man, because I believe that there's room for people to be kind and patient and understanding with each other instead of just screaming and yelling and saying, I'm right because I'm the loudest.
That's usually why I yell a lot at Dave.
He tries because he knows that I'm right, but he wants to impose his knowledge on me. So I just sit there and I listen to him because I'm kind and I'm gentle and I'm
Yes, it's 60-40 in my favor because he's kind.
And I'm older than you, so I'm, you know, I'm wiser.
Yeah, no. You're being gracious.
You are definitely older than me.
Yeah.
And that is where that sentence ends.
With you.
So Dustin, besides the YouTube, you know, hey God a minute, is there anything coming up that where people can go and see you? Any events?
Oh yeah, we're gonna be all over the place, man. We've got the school thing this week. I'm gonna be at the Foxborough, Massachusetts Library. I'm doing a motivational lecture based on stories that I took out of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I think there's a lot of inspiration in that book and in those movies. I mean, there's a lot of, like, you know, the seven deadly sins, just like within the stories of gluttony and sloth and all the things that those kids represent. I'm not sure how the Oompa Loompas fit in. They're a little bit creepy, but there's a lot in there. And then my friend Stephanie Burke's going to be there to do a mediumship thing after. I kind of put together this idea called mediumship and motivation, you know, where I try to help you looking forward and she helps you to make peace with those from your past. And so I'm doing that. And then my friend Tiffany Rice is having me over at her place over in Bridgewater. And we're going to do a lecture based on What's Next, which was my first solo book. And then I'm going to be down in Philly. We're doing one of the battleships down there and one of the submarines, not this weekend, but the next weekend. So all these events and much more, I'm very thankful for all the people that keep bringing me back to these conventions and do these events. Everything's on my website, which is just dustinparry.com. It's really simple and easy to find. Or paranormalrockstar.com is the old site that still links to all this stuff, too. And you can check out all my my new things. Can you say Segway?
Segway. So... Mr. Paranormal Rockstar.
Yeah.
And we had to jump into this. I'm sorry. So I got to say this. So I was so glad to hear that that was given to you during an interview and that that was not like a self-proclaimed name.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't give yourself a nickname, right?
No. Well, you're not supposed to. There's a lot of people that have, but you're not supposed to. Right. So how did Paranormal Rockstar how did that happen for you during this interview?
So I was talking to Mike Roberts. He was out of North Carolina. He was running a couple of events and stuff on his own there. I was overseas with GHI. and I was doing a Skype interview with him for, I think it was a magazine that he was putting out, or it was a podcast or something. And I was talking about how difficult it was to be away from my wife and my daughter, and you know, like the struggle of just being on the road for so long. And he said, he's like, well, but at least, you know, someday you'll have stories to share with your daughter and say, you know, Dad traveled the world like a paranormal rock star. I was like, hey, that's not too bad. He's like, no, he's like, you are. I was like, all right. And, you know, I worked in advertising and marketing for years. So I was like, well, there's worse names I could be called. So let's stick with that before somebody comes up with something horrible.
Yeah, I like that. No, I paranormal rock star is great. And, you know, that's a beautiful transition to Paranormal Dear Abby. Because I think that, right? I mean, so it's got the paranormal at the beginning. I mean, and then it just kind of moves from where you were to where you're headed. I like that.
Easy, man. Life is cool.
Paranormal Dear Abby. I really do like that.
I like that. I like that a lot.
That's if like anybody show red newspapers, I think I would write a column. It'd be fun.
Yeah, when I see you at an event, you ever come to the Midwest and you're at an event and we get to hook up, I'm gonna have you sign a picture for me that says, "From your best Paranormal Dear Abby."
Yeah, absolutely. Stuff.
I thought you were gonna go with your best friend. I really did. Your new BFF.
We don't know each other that.
And then I'll misspell your name, David, on top of it.
Yeah, you can spell David. If you need help spelling David, you let me know. I'll help you.
There's an E in there, right?
Yep. There's an E and a J. It's silent though.
Dejed. It's Dejed from now on. probably one final question. Sure. Depends on
because I talk long. I know.
No.
We do too.
But yeah, we. I have to make sure I'm off in time. I don't want to get yelled at again. What is your opinion of like the paranormal field right now? I mean, do you believe that it's kind of lost some of its professionality, I guess is maybe a word, and it's more for entertainment purposes now? Or how do you feel that the field in general is doing right now?
You know, I think in terms of television, you know, I can only speak to what I know of it. And to be honest, I don't watch a lot of investigative paranormal TV. And that's not a knock on anybody. I'll check in to see what some of my friends are up to that I know that I've worked with over the years. But I always say, like, if you're a dentist and you spend all day pulling teeth, do you want to come home and watch somebody else pull teeth on TV? Like, I like a break. You know, I like to watch cartoons. I like to watch sitcoms. I like to watch The Walking Dead. And that's kind of where I live. I like to watch recreation shows. I love to hear the stories, like My Haunted House and those kind of things, you know. But I do support my friends and things that I've done over the years. I think the biggest hurdle at this point is for people that are out in the field that are not on TV to, one, continue to do investigating and research because they want to do it and not just because they're hoping to get some TV show. And then, two, do different things. Try new ideas. Work outside of the box. Don't just keep doing the same old EVP questions. Don't keep doing the same old techniques. Don't keep using the same old equipment. If you want to use some of the staples, you know, like a simple EVP recorder and stuff like that, yeah, okay, that's fine. But what else can we do? How can we think about things in new ways and incorporate new things? And I think one of the problems that we have is some people will come up with ideas and they start to talk about them and they'll put it online. And unless you're a very strong individual, you'll get, you know, ripped apart by all these other people about what a horrible idea this is just because nobody else has done it. And then you'll just not pursue it and not continue on with it when you could have been on to something great. So I encourage all those people that are out there, both for television purposes and non-TV investigators, go out there and investigate and research in your own way. Don't do everything because everybody else has done it. Don't feel like you are pigeonholed and you have to work within these parameters because it's a completely unproven field still. There are no experts in any of this stuff. Some of us have done it longer than others, sure. But it doesn't mean you're an expert. You may be more knowledgeable. You may have more experience, but you haven't done everything there is to do. You're not the end-all and be-all of any of this stuff. So I think it's important for people to go out there and try new things. Work within your ideas and try things that you want to try, not because other people said it, you should do it, but because you want to do it. And just always be respectful and be safe. That's all. Be respectful of each other and be respectful of the spirit world, because at some point we're all going to be there.
You know how, like, when a police officer gets caught for, like, corruption and whatnot, and then they have to go to the jail where they sent, you know, half the inmates.
Right.
Do you believe that if, let's just say an investigator, even just a thrill seeker, wants to go, and they go into place after place after place, and they're rude, and they provoke, and they do that, when they pass away, that those spirits are there, just kind of give them a beat down?
I'd imagine you'd probably be given a hard time. I don't know about an actual beat down, but you'd probably be given a little, some gentle ribbing or something for sure. So I always tell people, I hope when Jesus plays the triangle and calls me home for pumpkin pie, that there's some people there that like me and think I did a decent job while I was here, both in the paranormal world and in this world, and trying to help other people out. I just want to remember just being kind and helpful. I think that's a decent life if you can get those two things checked off.
I 100% agree with you. Absolutely.
Dustin just became one of my best friends.
Hooray!
He said something that I've been saying forever, that there is no such thing as a paranormal expert.
Right.
And I'm 52 years old, and I was brought into this field because of things that happened at my house when I was about 3. Right. And I have been involved in this, whether I wanted to be or not, for the whole entire ride. So for 49 years, and I in no way, shape, or form would consider myself to be an expert. And I've been all over the place and done all kinds of stuff and thinking outside the box and everything else. But I'm learning new stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the strongest things that you said. And this has been a great interview, but I think that's one of the strongest things that you said, is that people like to point their finger at themselves and say that they're a paranormal expert. And I think that's hogwash.
It's always embarrassing when somebody introduces me like that, because I'm like, no, that's not me. Like, the first thing I have to say when I go on stage is, I appreciate it, but no. But thanks for pointing out that you are older than Mike, though. That's twice.
I am older than Mike. Yeah,
well, he's definitely older than me.
I trained Mike, so that's,
He did train me.
Yeah, so as good as Mike is or isn't, some of that falls back on me, so.
Yeah, I am just a reflection of Dave's awesomeness.
There you go. See, that's why we're a great team.
That's great, man.
Okay, one last question, and I can't believe I didn't get to this before. No, right. One more.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you have one?
No, I just got a quick statement, so I need 30 seconds.
We have 3 minutes, and this is a really quick one.
All right.
How did you get a REM pod with a, 2-foot long antenna?
Well, that's just genetics,
I'm sorry, Dave. That was the greatest thing that he had said in this entire
Well, it is now. It wasn't up until that moment. I mean, I can't help it. He pulled that one out of nowhere. What the heck was that?
I don't know. I'm just trying to give you your 30 seconds, Dave.
Yeah.
Seriously, how did you get a paranormal piece of equipment known as the REM pod, a 2-foot antenna that you use during investigations?
It's just magic, man. I don't know.
You watered it every day.
That's right. And nurture it. I speak kindly to it. It's great.
I'm not going to get an answer, am I?
I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. It just grows.
I was going to ask you a question earlier about ghost sex. Maybe I should have, but that's okay.
That's for next
time. All right, Dave, your 30 seconds is here.
Here's my 30 seconds. So I took a look through your webpage, obviously. I'm going to tell you straight out that you have got some of the best testimonials, and this is a pat on your back personally.
Thanks,
you have got some of the absolutely best testimonials that I have ever seen on anybody's page in any profession. I mean, I'm not talking just the paranormal community. I'm talking about, I don't care what you do in life and stuff like that, and you put your testimonials up. And I'm reading through some of your testimonials, and honest to God, I got about halfway through them, and I was thinking to myself, man, when I see him, I'm going to reach through my computer screen and give this guy the biggest damn hug that I'm ever going to give anybody. Because what is he doing that is so amazing that is changing these guys' lives? You know, and I've never got to see that side of you, and so I'm super jealous that I haven't got to see that side of you. But it's my pat on the back to you personally, and that's how I wanted to kind of end my side of it, is that you must be doing absolutely amazing stuff.
I appreciate it. I go where I'm guided. I'm spirit-driven, and I really just love people, and I'm just trying to help out. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Perfect. I don't need to climb on anymore. Okay, so that does it for us. I wish we had another hour, but we don't. But we will bring you back because we have so much more we can talk about.
Indeed.
Thank you, Dustin. We really appreciate you coming on and being a part of the show and sharing some of this stuff with us.
No, it's my pleasure, guys. Thank you very much for having me tonight. Thank you.
Perfect. All right. So for everyone here at the Odyssey Files, have a good night.
Yeah. Great night, too.